Freddie once sang that he wants to break free. That pretty much captures the mood, you'll agree. No hugs, haircuts or holidays for over a year. The pubs and shops shut. No raucous cheer of fans at the game, of kids at school. Stay home, mask on, 2 metre rule. But the lockdowns, the measures, they're not without cause. They've been there because death just will not pause. It's assault on us all through this miserable virus. Death is the reason they've had to require us to not see our family or friends for so long. It's death that's the problem. That's what's gone wrong. So here then is the issue, you see. When all this is over, when they say, you are free, when we rip off our masks and we hug once again, when we dance and we sing and we gather with friends, I can't wait. But hold on. Because despite no restrictions, death hasn't gone. Virus or not, death wins the day, which kind of dampens our hip hip hooray. Unless there was a way which we could be free from even the grip of death's tyranny. But how, you may ask, can we beat the Grim Reaper? Well, that is the wonderful message of Easter. Jesus, Son of God, came to earth as a man. The Word became flesh. It was always God's plan, and the reason he came was to die for our sin, to swap places with us so that we could begin the life we were made for, free from our shame. At the cross, Jesus took on himself all our blame, the perfect one coming to die in our place so that for all who trust him, they're given God's grace. But the message of Easter doesn't end there. Jesus died, he was buried, but no one could prepare for what happened next. He rose from the dead. Meaning death no longer has to fill us with dread. Because on that Easter Sunday, Jesus broke free. He rose from the grave. So that if you believe that Jesus died in your place and then rose, then listen to this. Here's how it goes. You too no longer have to fear death. Whenever it is that you take your last breath. Because Jesus has beaten it. Here's your guarantee. Come to Jesus this Easter. Believe. And be free.
Welcome to our Easter Day service. We gather here together to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. My name is Alice and I'm a member of the staff team here at St Andrew's. And if you're joining us for the first time online, you're really welcome here. Welcomed by God and welcomed by the church community. And if you'd like to find out any more about events that happen in the week that might help, we have all the details on our website, on our church website, and on the email that's at the end, both before the service and after the service at the end. And if you would like to be prayed for or to be, have prayer for anything going on in your life, please also use that email or the website contact details. We'd love to get to know you. I know this is a virtual service, but we are a real community of faith, and we'd love to support you in any way that we can. So let's begin together by turning ourselves to God in prayer. The words of God say that where the people of God gather, God is there by his Spirit. So before we use any words, let's just take a moment to still ourselves and to become more aware of the presence of God in our midst, and then we'll pray. Lord God, in the year that has passed, together we have understood something of what it is like to be sealed in an empty, dark tomb. Together we have tasted something of the sorrow, isolation, and suffering of Christ. In our world, we have known fear and death. But this Easter day, together we acknowledge that we are characters in a much bigger story even than the events of this past year. Together, we remember that we are people of the resurrection. Because of the risen Jesus, nothing, not failure, fear, pain, or even death itself, can separate us from the love and the presence of God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we come together today to celebrate your victory over sin and death in the resurrection. Today we come to practice together our identity as the resurrection people of God. Risen Lord Jesus, we honour you in our worship today. Amen. So let's begin by bringing our praise to this risen Saviour in song.
They laid him down in Jerusalem.
O trample death, where is your sting? The angels roar for Christ our King. It's so good to begin our time together in worship and praise of our risen Saviour. And as we've been singing about the resurrection and what that means for us, this last week we've asked some members of our church family to talk about what the resurrection means for them. And we're just going to play the videos. You'll recognise some faces here and enjoy those.
What resurrection means to me is freedom and knowing I can walk out in what God has for me.
The resurrection of Jesus is important to me because I now have a restored and loving relationship with my Heavenly Father forever.
To me, the resurrection is my firm hope of eternal life with Jesus in heaven.
The resurrection to me is when something or someone has been utterly and absolutely dead and is brought back to vibrant life. And that's what happened to Jesus on the first Easter. And because of that, he's still alive. He's alive today, and I can know him as my saviour and my friend who walks with me every day of my life and gives me hope for the next life in the future.
What Easter means to me, it means new life and healing to my mortal body. Its flesh, its blood, its soul, through the Spirit.
To me, it means there is a sure and certain hope for the future.
Resurrection is new. New hope, new peace and joy. New life.
Well, these are such powerful and helpful reminders of what the resurrection means in our everyday lives. But I think most of us know how easy it is to forget our identity as the resurrection people of God. And we're going to take some time together now to offer our confession to God and to receive his forgiveness and assurance. We pray together the words in bold, but we'll pause at the end of each line to confess the things to God that the Spirit brings to our minds. So let's pray together. Father, in raising Jesus from the grave, you scattered the power of sin and death. Yet we confess the ways that we have chosen in the past week that have led to death rather than life by our thoughts, words, and actions. We confess the ways we have not shown mercy to others. We confess the ways that we have treated ourselves with harshness and without grace, and denied your image within us. We confess the ways we have been indifferent to the weak and the poor, and have ignored the cries of the oppressed. We confess the ways we have placed convenience and ease before of the care of the world you have made. Forgive us, merciful God. Renew us by your resurrection power to love mercy, do justly, and to walk humbly with you, our God, in this coming week. Amen.
The Easter Day reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 1 to 18. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped round Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white, seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned round and saw Jesus standing there. But she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, hello and happy Easter from me, and welcome to you all. Some of you may remember that I had an interesting experience in my Easter recording of my sermon last year. In those early days of recording services, there in my kitchen with bits of paper all over the camera while I learnt how to make that all work, I came to the main bit, the climax of what I was about to say. "Jesus is risen," I declared. And suddenly from over on the windowsill, Alexa pipes up and says, "I'm not sure about that one." Well, this day I was very glad that I was recording in church where I'm free from any heckling. But as we begin this service, this sermon, let us pray. Lord, will you make this familiar story come afresh to us today? Will you speak to us and minister to us through this amazing story of your death and resurrection? Amen. Well, it's been great this Holy Week seeing the Malvern Easter journey across our 10 different churches in our town. And if you've not gone and visited that yet, then do make the most of the last couple of days to view these fantastic displays. And well done particularly to Mary and her team for making it all happen. But in some ways, the idea came out of some of us putting up Easter displays in our own gardens last year, when we were confined to our homes for those first few weeks of lockdown one. And in the vicarage garden, while we were still full of energy and creativity at the start of the pandemic, the Bruce family gradually built up the Easter story in different displays for all those walking past to see. We took the church cross and put that up. We had an old tent that we turned into the tomb. And we had the palm leaves making the tunnel to represent Palm Sunday. And we really enjoyed watching people from our windows to see the different reactions of them as they passed by. And yes, some did think we were a bit weird. Our neighbours told us so. So told us of some of the odd comments that they'd had. And one of Josh's friends even asked him whether our rabbit had died, and was that the reason why we had an 8-foot cross outside of our house? But what was quite profound was that sitting in our kitchen, looking out through the window, we were given a different view, a different perspective on our world. Because for that week, when we looked out of our window, we looked out at the world through a different lens. We looked out at our world literally through the Easter story. When we looked out at the hills, the common, the cars, the people, we looked at them through the cross and through the empty tomb. And as I've pondered on that thought this week, you know, I've come to realize just what an amazing invitation from God that is for each one of us. To view the world, our lives, ourselves, through the Easter story. For the Easter story changes everything. The Easter story of Jesus' death and resurrection reframes the whole way we view the past, the present, and the future. To view everything through the Easter story is to view everything in true perspective, in God's perspective. And so I want us to invite us today to reflect a little on what it means to view the world and our lives through this Easter story. And so let us look at John's account of that resurrection morning that we've just heard read to us by Chris. You know, as I read this account afresh, I was really struck with the way that John begins. "While it was still dark," he writes, "while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb." You see, John makes it very clear that first Easter morning started in darkness. It started in despair and grief and tears. Mary had been with Jesus for most of his ministry. She'd seen his miracles. She'd seen lives transformed. She'd seen bodies healed. And then she'd been there at the cross on that Friday when Jesus had been brutally killed, when the nails had been driven in his hands and feet. She'd stood at the cross there helplessly as Jesus had breathed his last breath. And now she had lost everything. In 48 hours, her world had turned upside down. She was utterly broken. And here she was, setting off for the tomb in physical and spiritual darkness. You know, sooner or later, we all face dark times in our lives. Those times of despair when our world caves in around us. The redundancy, the test results from the doctor, the phone call that brings tragedy with it, and we've sadly known that as a church family in this last year. The broken marriage, the loss of a partner or a friend, the black hole of depression. And over the last year, we've known something of this darkness and despair as the world has battled with an out-of-control pandemic. And at these times, we can often find ourselves lost, as Mary was that morning. We can find ourselves with big questions, can't we? Questioning God, where are you? Are you really there? What's going on? Do you still love me? Is it really true? What now? And Mary Magdalene must have found herself processing some of those thoughts and questions as she made her way to the tomb that morning while it was still dark. But the profound message of this story is that while it was still dark, Jesus rose from the dead. While it was still dark, God's resurrection power broke through. While it was still dark, God had already been at work. For while Mary walked to the tomb in the darkness, the resurrection had already taken place. Jesus was alive, but Mary didn't know it yet. You see, viewing the world through the Easter story reminds us that darkness and despair do not have the final words with God. There's always hope. He's always there working in the darkness of our lives, even if we can't see it. You know, if you've arrived at Easter morning in darkness in your life, then hold on to this truth. That God is already at work in your darkness with his transforming resurrection power. Remember that the risen Jesus is in your midst, even if you don't know it, even if you don't feel it. And so Mary arrives at the tomb to find the stone rolled away. And goes running to Peter and John to tell them the only explanation that she can find for what she sees, that someone has stolen the body. You know, it must have been such a body blow to Mary, pouring disappointment on disappointment. First, she loses her friend and saviour, and then when she goes to be with him and sit by the grave, she finds that the body is missing too. Peter and John come and see the empty tomb for themselves, and on finding it, we're told, they go off to their homes. But Mary doesn't leave. Mary doesn't go home. But she stays at the tomb, lingering and searching still for Jesus. You know, it's often easy, isn't it, when we face disappointment, especially with God, when things don't work out as we'd hoped or wanted, when we can't make sense of things, to want to go home, to give up, to pull away from God and stop searching. Maybe over this last year, as you've grappled with disappointments in your life, as you've seen the suffering and brokenness in our world, as we've not been able to gather in person to encourage each other and to draw near to God, maybe you've been tempted to draw back from Jesus too. To literally go home, to pull away from God because of your disappointments, because you can't make sense of it all. But Mary doesn't do that, does she? Mary doesn't give up. In her grief and disappointment, in her confusion and pain, she lingers still at the graveside and still searches for Jesus. And I wonder if that is a message that God wants to give to some watching today. If you felt you have lost Jesus over these last few months, if you feel disappointed that God has not come through in the way that you expected or hoped for, then follow Mary's example. Don't give up. Don't walk away. Stay and linger at the graveside and keep searching for Jesus. For the Easter story tells us that God has a bigger story at work that sometimes we just can't see or understand. A story of ultimate transformation and new life. And in those silent, difficult times, he calls us still to trust and wait and seek him anyway. And then suddenly we read, Jesus, the risen Jesus, draws near and stands alongside Mary, although she doesn't yet recognize him. And you see, the interesting thing I find is that while Mary is there looking for Jesus, or his body at least, it is actually Jesus who finds Mary, the risen Jesus who encounters her. And he asks her with great compassion and love, "Why are you weeping?" The resurrected Jesus meets her in her tears, in her crying, in her pain. He accepts her as she is in all of her brokenness. And then he looks directly at her and lovingly calls her name, Mary. And in that instant, he transforms her tears of pain and despair into tears of joy and hope. And he invites her to move forwards into a new life and a new purpose with him. And in that encounter, I think we see so much of the great gospel story that we proclaim. This risen Jesus who willingly went to the cross for me and for you, to die in our place, to fix our brokenness, to pay for our sin, to bring us forgiveness. This Jesus who on that cross defeated the power of evil and darkness in the world comes to find us in our brokenness, to offer us new life and new hope and new purpose. I wonder whether that's how Jesus, the risen Jesus, finds you today, just as you are. I wonder if he says to you, "Why are you weeping?" Because he wants to come and call your name. He wants to come and transform you. He wants to come and show you his great love. That is the Easter story. And over the last year in our churches, you know, we've seen and heard some great stories of how Jesus has broken in and transformed lives of people in our own communities. In particular, we've seen new people come to faith, particularly through Alpha, and find new hope and peace and light in their darkness. We've seen people find freedom from debt. We've seen people find healing and new purpose and love and acceptance. And particularly if you are not yet someone of faith, if you're still exploring this Christian faith, then I want to particularly say to you today, maybe today Jesus is calling your name. Maybe today is the day that Jesus wants to show you his transforming resurrection power. But you know, Jesus' resurrection points to so much more than transformation in the presence. It points us to a new order too. It points us forward to that sure and certain hope of eternal life. It declares that one day that those who know and love Jesus will too be given their own resurrection bodies in that new heaven and new earth described in that amazing passage in Revelation 21. That place where we're told there'll be no more suffering or crying or mourning or pain or death. That place where darkness will be banished forever and where everything will be made new. You see, that is our ultimate resurrection hope. But we're not there yet. Back in World War II, there was an occasion when a secret message got through to some American prisoners in a German concentration camp, telling them that the war was over. But it would be three more days before that word got to their German captors. But during those 3 days, nothing changed for those prisoners in terms of the hardships they faced. But their attitude changed. Their attitude changed from despair to hope. They knew that soon they would be released because the Allies had won the war. You know, those American prisoners lived confidently and hopefully in those in-between times, despite their hardships, because they knew the final outcome. And we, as God's resurrection people, can live confidently and hopefully in these in-between times too, even if we face hardships, even if we face darkness, even if we face struggles and pain that we don't understand. For the resurrection proclaims that the victory is won. The resurrection proclaims that darkness and death and pain and suffering will one day be banished forever. And that resurrection hope is enough to keep us holding on. For as we look at our broken world through the cross and the empty tomb, we know how the story ends. And so, Jesus goes and instructs Mary not to cling to him, not to stay at the tomb, a tomb which now was empty, but to go and tell, to go and proclaim confidently that Jesus is alive. And Jesus calls us, his resurrection people, to do the same. But not just to go and tell, to also go and become part of the Easter story, to become part of the resurrection story. For as Romans 8:11 declares, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is living in you. We're called to be God's resurrection people in a broken world. We're called through his Spirit and in God's strength and not in our own to bring God's light and transformation to the darkness of our worlds. The risen Jesus calls us to partner with him in bringing his resurrection life to the places that he sends us. And whenever we forgive someone who has wronged us, whenever we show acts of kindness to a stranger, whenever we share stories of what God has done in our lives, whenever we offer to pray for someone, whenever we champion the underdog and stand up for justice, whenever we love our neighbour, we demonstrate and proclaim the Easter story afresh to the world. So let us go into our world confidently. Let us go into our worlds hopefully, knowing that whatever we face, that Jesus is risen, and that changes everything.
We just wanted to take some time to respond to the message that Dave brought, and not to hurry on to the next thing, but to allow the words of God to settle in our hearts. And let's just take some time together. And the first sort of group that I was thinking of is if you need to know, if you feel like listening to those words, you feel like you need to know that God is already at work in the dark, but you've lost courage. It would be really great to pray for you and to respond to God's calling to fresh courage and to respond to that lens of looking out on the world and on your life through the Easter story once again. Or perhaps you might look out at the world and also feel that you've lost courage and that you want to know that God is at work in the dark of all the things that have gone on in the last year. Or if you're somebody who feels like, I hear these words, but I want to know a fresh infilling of the resurrection power of Jesus, that I know the life and the hope of the resurrection. As I go into the world, as we face the great uncertainties of the next months and years, that we absolutely know through the power of his Spirit that we have resurrection hope and we can participate in that. So if you're any one of those people, when you're sitting at home, just reach out to God and I'll pray for us now. So, Lord, you know the words that have settled into each of our hearts, and it's something different for each one of us because you are alive and you speak to us differently. But I do especially want to pray for all who need to have fresh hope and courage that you are at work in the dark. You're already at work, even when we can't see it. Pray that for those who've lost hope, that you're at work in their lives, in their own lives. And I pray it too for those of us who look out on the world and the events of the world or our families or our neighbours or whatever, and we think, how can God still be at work? I pray for fresh courage. Ask in the quiet, ask the Lord to come again, that you would know him calling you by name again in the dark. And I pray for every one of us listening at home that we would know a fresh infilling of your resurrection power. Even now as we wait, would you come and fill us again with your Holy Spirit? Fill us again with your confidence and your hope and your courage, just like you did with those first disciples. Resurrection power that changes everything, for everything within us that is dead, that needs to come alive. Holy Spirit, would you come now and bring your resurrection power? Thank you, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen. And that same resurrection power that we pray for ourselves, we come now to pray for our community. And our prayers will be led today by different members of our church community, and the area that they're going to pray for, they're actually involved with in some way. But we're going to pray together, join with them in their prayers, praying for the new hope and the resurrection life of our community and our world. So let's pray together now.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful town we live in. Thank you for the joy we find in your creation, for new life and the hope of spring. We ask Jesus for you to bless our town as we gently ease out of lockdown. We pray for healing and restoration over the coming few weeks as the lockdown restrictions are eased. As Paul wrote to the Romans, just as Christ was raised from the dead, through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. So we pray for this message of hope for our community as we prepare for this new season, and that through your Spirit, we may know the true meaning of Easter. Amen.
Risen Lord Jesus, King of Kings, we thank you for your resurrection power. Breathe your new life into this place and our NHS. Energise, renew and bring calm to those who have served and given of themselves tirelessly on the front line this past year. May they know you with them, providing healing power and peace to those who are ill, worried or in desperate need. Thank you that you came to save, and we pray that as life returns little by little to a new normality, that you would be with those making decisions about what the health and social care looks like for our country and our world in need. Breathe your resurrection power into this place, risen Lord Jesus. Amen.
I want to pray for our young people. I'll talk about the feelings my children have had over the last year, and I hope that that may have a wider resonance. First of all, my oldest son, who's age 24. He said to me, I find it hard to be sociable, and now Boris Johnson says I'm not allowed to be. Pray for those young people who turn in on themselves during this year of isolation, that they may be able to turn back to God and to life. My middle child has wanted to go back to church, but has not been able to. Pray for those young people who may have turned to God during lockdown, that they may find fellow Christians and a nice church community. And thirdly, my younger child, who's in year 13 and has found the uncertainty weighing heavy on her. Pray for those young people feeling these kind of feelings, that they may know that God journeys alongside them during that time. In your name, amen.
Dear God, we thank you for your faithfulness and steadfastness at all times. We pray for all the businesses in Malvern and the surrounding areas, that you would bring new life to them at this time as lockdown begins to ease. We pray for faith, wisdom and your guidance for business owners. Inspire us and show us the way to grow our businesses to enable them to prosper and bless our local communities. Where there is worry, we pray for faith. Where there is despair, we pray for hope. And where there are struggles, we pray for your divine help. Amen.
Lord, we rejoice in the signs of new life all around us at this springtime. And we thank you for the gradual return of freedom as the lockdown is progressively eased. But even more than all of this, we thank you for the forgiveness and freedom won by Jesus on the cross, and the new life we can enjoy through his resurrection, which we celebrate today. We thank you for the new life found by many of our guests on the Alpha Course over the past 12 months, as they commenced a personal journey of faith. We pray that you will open the eyes, ears and hearts of many more people in our community here in Malvern to hear your good news and to open their hearts and lives to you. Amen.
And so as we come and gather around the communion table now, I want to just encourage you to imagine the risen Jesus in your midst. I want you just to imagine actually you being given communion by the risen Jesus. That as we take this, that he calls your name and meets with you in a powerful way. And at home, you might like to have some bread and some juice as a symbol of the communion that we share together. And so the Lord be with you and also with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It's right to give thanks and praise. It's always right to give you thanks, God, our Father, holy and strong, King forever. You made us and the whole universe and filled your world with life. You sent your Son to live among us, Jesus, Saviour, Mary's child. And he suffered on the cross. He died to save us from our sins. He rose again in glory from the dead. And you send your Spirit to bring us new life into the world and fill us with power from on high. And so we join the angels to celebrate and say, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. And Father, on the night before he died, Jesus shared a meal with his friends and he took the bread and thanked you. He broke it and gave it to them saying, take this and eat it. This is my body given for you. Do this to remember me. And after the meal, Jesus took the cup of wine. He thanked you and gave it to them saying, drink this, all of you. This is my blood, the new promise of God's love. Do this to remember me. And so we proclaim the victory won by his death on the cross. We celebrate his resurrection, his bursting from the tomb. We rejoice that he reigns at your right hand on high, and we long for his coming in glory. And so, Father, as we remember his death and resurrection, send your Holy Spirit that the bread and the wine we bring before you may be for us Christ's body and his blood. And we say together the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And we break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread.
Thank you.
If you're joining us live, do join us for Easter Day Coffee on Zoom. If you'd like to know any more about the ways to get involved or get to explore the Christian faith a bit further or find out about events in the middle of the week, do look for details on the church website, which will be at the end of the service. We'd love to talk to you any more, or if you'd like someone to pray with you, we'd love to pray with you. Do contact us. So happy Easter to each one of you, and may each of us know the power of Jesus' resurrection life and bring that hope to our world in this coming week. So I'd like to close with a final blessing. As Christ burst forth from the tomb, may new life burst forth from us and show itself in acts of love and healing to a hurting world. And may the same Christ who lives forever and is the source of our new life keep your hearts rejoicing and grant you peace this day and always. Amen. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia.